These days, it seems like artificial intelligence has become the buzzword in the medical device industry. And for a lot of people in med tech, AI so far has been more hype than substance. But it continues to hold promise for a brave new world for those who dare to wield its power. But the promises of the new world still needs to fit into the realities of the old world. Experts met at Xavier University in Cincinnati at the end of August for the AI Summit to talk about some of the challenges AI technology continues to face as it works its way into hospitals, doctors' offices, and our homes. An important consideration when developing AI-based medical devices is whether the technology violates any patient privacy regulations set under the 1996 Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or also known as HIPAA. Danny Toby, a physician and attorney with DLA Piper, spoke about the complexities of developing AI technology that may fall under HIPAA regulations. After his talk, MedTech Insight caught up with him to ask him about what advice he has for companies developing AI technology.
I wanted to kind of hop right in because, you know, we were at this Xavier University meeting about AI, and you mentioned there's this somewhat of an ambiguity over whether HIPAA rules apply to AI technology in the healthcare space. Could you kind of walk me through where that issue is and why there's ambiguity?
Sure. And I'm not sure I'd phrase it as ambiguity. It's more complexity. The ways that companies developing AI are going about it don't necessarily track the traditional ways that HIPAA thinks about things. So what you end up with is a situation where if you set up a data analytics company or endeavor one way, you might fall under HIPAA. If you set it up a different way, you might not. And that's going to turn on a number of things, like are you acting as a covered entity or a business associate? Is the data PHI? Protected health information, or is it de-identified? And those are all issues that come into play when you're looking into whether HIPAA is going to apply or not.
You know, I think during the meeting you kind of mentioned that, you know, there's this question about when HIPAA might apply and when it might not apply. So based on that, if I'm a medical device company, what are the main things I'd need to know about the potentially creating a HIPAA violation when dealing with AI and patient data?
Well, it's very complicated. That's why you want good counsel. We've had situations where even within the same company, some of their business endeavors and subsidiaries fell under the HIPAA rules, and other aspects of what they were doing did not. So it really depends on the specific subsidiary, who they're working with, where they're getting their data from. Is that data coming through healthcare sources or external sources like social media? That might not necessarily be governed by HIPAA, but may have terms of service and other regulatory and contractual requirements. So you really, on a case-by-case basis, you have to look at all of those factors and make a determination.
And when you were talking about, during the meeting, you gave this one example of, a company that used the data through a clinical trial, where they just, generated the data. And then there was another scenario where the company bought the data from a hospital or something. And you, in the second one, I think there was a lot more leeway for the company that was using the data. Could you kind of go into that, issue of how do you own that data and what you're allowed to do that with that data if you're, again, applying it in the in an AI setting where, you might have an AI software that analyzes that data?
Yeah, well, I mean, let me say at the outset, I mean, this is why we created our AI practice at DLA Piper, because these questions are very important, and it takes a lot of case-by-case analysis to work through them. And so the purpose of that hypothetical that I gave at the talk was to show that you could have a data analytics company, and depending on how they set things up, they could fall under HIPAA and be a business associate to a covered entity under HIPAA. Or if they set it up a little differently, they might not be a business associate, but it would still be a sale of protected health information under HIPAA. So the devil really is in the details, and that's why with our AI practice, we've treated it as an intersection of many of our traditional practice areas. So we bring in our HIPAA privacy lawyers, and we bring in our cybersecurity lawyers, and we bring in our FTC and FDA regulatory lawyers, because all of those different regulatory frameworks can come into play, and you want to set things up right on the front end.
Well, I was also thinking, you know, like the whole idea of AI, that's a very new concept, but HIPAA has been around for quite a while. And as you were talking, there are, you know, questions around when it applies, when it doesn't apply. Are there any efforts to clarify and update regulations that that could help medical device makers figure out if they may be violating HIPAA, especially in light of the AI technology that's coming out?
Yes. So the Department of Health and Human Services, their Office of the Chief Technology Officer, CTO, they have just proposed this year developing a department-wide artificial intelligence strategy. And one piece of that was a conference they co-hosted in April of 2019, which talked about, they called it the, quote, roundtable on sharing and utilizing health data for AI applications. So while HIPAA's been around a long time, a lot of the guidance to make it fit onto an AI platform is new, and they're really in the process of developing it right now. For example, one of the things that's hard to do under the current HIPAA rules is develop these long-term longitudinal databases that allow you to track patients over time and train your continuously learning algorithms, and that implicates all kinds of issues with de-identification and re-identification and the right to be forgotten, the right to revoke authorization. All of those things from HIPAA and GDPR can come into play. And so when you're helping companies design their models and algorithms, you want to help them think about those things on the front end, so that they can build AI systems that fit within the existing frameworks while we wait for the new guidance.
Well, and you know, you mentioned you've got clients who've had to deal with this issue, and I'm not going to ask for you to divulge the names of your clients, but do you have any examples where a medical device company potentially violated HIPAA when developing an AI technology, or were close?
Honestly, Danny, just because of attorney-client privilege. But I mean, I think what I can say is that these issues are real and important. And if you are a software company that's making a healthcare play, all of these issues, HIPAA, FTC, and others should be front of mind, and you want to be thinking about them from the beginning.
Again, kind of stepping back a little, looking at the fact that HIPAA is such a, you know, it's a comparatively older law, and then you've got all this new development AI. How do you see HIPAA evolving in order to stay in sync with the need for data sharing under AI?
Well, I think that's what we're going to find out with the Chief Technology Officer's new initiative. Certainly, we're looking for new guidance on de-identification. Mm-hmm. The last guidance on de-identification was many years ago, and especially with the power of AI to combine and find patterns in very large data sets from different sources, re-identification is an increasingly important issue. So one thing I think a lot of my clients are looking for is guidance on what de-identification means in the era of AI and big data, particularly in light of the ability to re-identify. I also think another key issue, both under HIPAA and other privacy regimes like GDPR and the new rules coming into effect in California, is how do you maintain long-term data sets when there's new and stronger rights of revocation?
I was thinking with the issue of revocation, you know, if you've got the data already de-identified, do you have to have a process where you can re-identify the data in order to be able to revoke it?
Well, remember, sometimes you need identified data in order to really power your AI. So imagine a continuously learning system that is going to help people by analyzing data over the course of someone's treatment into the future. Mm-hmm. So if the data set is de-identified and there's no way to backtrack to the original patient, then you're automatically only looking backwards. And so much of the power of some of these approaches is the ability to continuously learn into the future. So a lot of my clients are wrestling with that, and a lot of companies out there are wrestling with that. How do you create these ongoing data relationships while staying within the regulatory framework?
And do you feel like there's going to be a point? You know, you talked about what the Europeans are doing. You talked about what what California is doing. Do you feel like there's going to be a point at some point in the future where there's going to have to be a national reevaluation of HIPAA rules that'll require legislation that would bring, you know, the European, you know, legislation and the Californian legislation into kind of one bucket?
I think time will tell. I mean, you're certainly seeing that tension between the different branches of government on the subject of AI in the IP space. I mean, you've got the head of the USPTO and the courts and the legislative branch all wondering, how do we need to evolve our view of inventions in light of artificial intelligence? And I think we're starting to see some of those same questions being raised under HHS, not just in HIPAA, but across the board. I think everybody understands that AI is a change not just in degree, but it's a whole new type of information processing on a different scale. And I do think that that's going to create tensions between different branches of government as they try to figure out how to change the rules fast enough to keep up.
Is there anything else I have not touched on in terms of AI and HIPAA that you think is worth mentioning?
Well, I would just point out the different sources of high quality health information. I mean, you've got everything from administrative data and reimbursement data from federal, state, and local government. You've got private insurers with a wealth of information. You have electronic medical records. You have vast databases of genetic and epigenetic information. And then you have the whole world of the Internet of Things, and patients are creating their own data. And the real question is, how do you build ways to speak across all those different data sources so that we have clean, deep, reliable data sets to produce the best models.
And I'm guessing that would have depend on some sort of standardization of the data, right?
Well, interoperability is an issue that's on everybody's minds. How do you make different systems and data structures speak to one another? There are big debates going on right now whether you need common data models or whether the AI itself will be powerful enough to speak across differently structured data. I visited with very, very smart experts in the field who feel strongly on both sides of that question. I think a lot of times what you see on that question depends on where you sit. But I think the main point I would make is we're going to need to streamline not just HIPAA, but many different regulatory and contractual frameworks in order to allow all of these different sources of data to work together, ultimately to benefit patients.
For MedTech Insight, this is Firdaus Al-Farouk.